our original team was me, Zion Sensley, John Mobley, who goes to Ohio State, Jaden Williams. We had just a bunch of studs. And then somehow the team got better because Tahad and Dylan Harper and Ian Jackson, all of them just showed up randomly on Sunday.
We are back with another episode of Not Even D2. I'm your host, KJ Allison, here as always with my boy and co-host, Neruda Perdomo. Talk to me, bro, going into playoffs. You guys, undefeated week, I believe. So just talk to me about this past week and then mindset going into playoffs.
Crazy week just with the snow, Brody. Hope everything's been good with you at Alfred. You've been staying safe and staying warm. But, yeah, crazy week. We had games rescheduled on different days. Times moved up. Schools getting canceled. So it's been hectic, bro, trying to, you know, stay poised through it all. But, you know, we're doing good over here, bro, locked in and just taking it one game at a time. So really, really excited for playoffs, though. It's always a fun time of year, both Division III, Division II, Division I. Like, this is where all the cards are on the table. So it's a fun time.
100%, bro. And like you said, that was wild. I didn't even know your guys' game got canceled until, like, the next day. You called me and you were already back at the crib. I was like, huh? But, so that means you guys play today. Does that change anything for you guys, or is it just, like, same thing, like we had a win on Saturday, but now we just got a win today?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the back-to-back things is we've done it before, as you have too. And you've done the play home one day and go away the next day. So it's not too different, I'd say, in terms of traveling. But I will say, just in terms of the intensity, is probably going to be at an all-time high, just because Keuka is trying to get into the playoffs. We're trying to, you know, have momentum going into playoffs. So, you know, there's a lot on the line regardless. There's a lot on the line every game, but, you know, especially for this one, it definitely, you know, you just got to be aware that this team is going to give their best effort 100%. So.
No, for sure. Talk a little about AU basketball. We got a lot of momentum going into playoffs. Beat the one seed on Friday. Senior night was good energy. The guys were emotional. Saturday we won against Geneseo. It was a close game. And then went to Houghton yesterday, gave them work. I believe we won by 20. But so we got Poly, which is the 4 seed. We're the 5 seed. Go over to Poly. You know I hate playing in that gym, but it's going to be a great game, bro. They're a good team, and we got momentum right now. So I'm excited for playoffs, bro. The E8 is lit right now. Definitely a conference not getting a lot of buzz as we thought it would, but I wouldn't be surprised if the team that wins the tournament make some noise in the tournament, because, like, we've just been battle tested throughout the year and there's no days off any day. But I mean, we got to talk about today's episode. It was a fire one with our guy Hampton Sanders leading their combined effort, but playing for NYU, a backup guard, having a really good year, averaging 12-4-3. They're 21-1 time of recording, I believe, having a really good year. Only one loss in the UAA to Emory, which they got back recently and smacked them. But, I mean, it was a really good episode talking about RWE basketball, him growing up, playing in Jersey, and then what makes NYU so good. So just talk to me about, you know, this episode and talking with Hampton.
Great episode, man. It was great to get to know Hampton. I'm really appreciate him being more than willing to get on the pod. You know, it didn't take much, you know, scheduling work to figure something out. Like, he was just like, yeah, let's do it. And he was open to any and all times. So definitely appreciated that. And then the overall convo, I mean, Hampton got a lot of stuff going on for him, bro. I mean, I feel like he's playing basketball for NYU in New York City, D3 basketball, but, like, just the opportunities that have, like, arisen for him through playing basketball, whether it be RWE, you know, his own brand that I don't think we've really talked about in the episode, his partnership with Hoop Culture, like, stuff like that is just really cool to see the D3 athletes just having such a broad range of, you know, stuff outside of their college, you know what I mean? Stuff that extracurriculars, like, we're doing too, you know what I mean? Like, we have the pod selling merch, so it was cool to kind of talk to another influencer, you know, type of dude like that with Hampton, So great episode, bro. Great conversation, and I'm excited for viewers to get to know him.
Yeah, for sure. Just listen back to the episode. It was definitely great content. But Hampton could really hoop, bro. He has so much going on, like you just mentioned, RWE, his brand, hoop culture, da da da. But like, if you watch his film and seeing how he's hooping for NYU, he could really do it all. And he's a small guard. He's like, what, 5'9", 5'10", and finishes at the rim, scoop layups, got spin on the ball, all that, like Kyrie type finishes. And then he's shooting the lights out. I think you mentioned that episode, he's shooting north of 40%. So he's having a really good year. And his play kind of is elevating in UAA play. He's solidified himself as one of the best players in the UAA right now. And that's coming off the bench, bro, which is crazy. And something I took away, like also coming off the bench in like that six man role, is like just putting pressure on the defense, being aggressive, not even just scoring, just like you have to put your attention towards me. And Hampton's doing a really good job with that, leading or contributing to NYU at a really high level. But I want to hear, so they don't have a conference tournament, so I'm not going to ask who you think is going to win the UAA, but do you think there's a specific team or a team that you're watching that's like, I think that they're going to make the most noise come NCAA tournament time? I know I didn't prep you.
You good, bro. I would just say, I mean, obviously you have NYU, you have Emory. I mean, do you think Carnegie Mellon has a chance to get in with like?
Nah, it's definitely keys for them, but I think Wash U probably will also get in. Okay. So it'll be Wash U, NYU, Emory, and maybe Chicago. But
it's tough to say without knowing like which teams are in the UAA, like who's going to make the tournament. But I mean, obviously, any of those like top three teams with Wash U, Emory, or NYU can make some noise. But bro, I don't want to say NYU just because it's like the obvious pick, like they're 21-1, but like, dude, they're so deep, and it's like they're just gonna put so much pressure on teams like in the tournament. I'm already knowing they're just gonna throw different rotations or different lineups out there that's gonna affect teams. But Wash U could score the ball like crazy too, so I feel like, you know, if they could you know get hot at the right time, which they've been hot all year, but if they can just catch fire in the tournament, like who's to say they can't make a run, you know what I mean? So probably again, any of those three teams are really elite, bro, so it's not like I'm really picking anything different than anyone else would. But
for sure, shout out to our guy Coach Pat Yuckum, definitely leading Wash U to a really good year. But like you said, and like Hampton said in the episode, when it comes tournament time, it's going to be hard for, you know, those five guys that are leading them right now to all have an off night because, like he said, he's had 25 in a game. Brock Susko's had great games. Tristan Howell's one of the best players in Division III. So it's like it's tough to scout a team that, you know, they have probably, you know, a lineup of or a roster of eight people that could go to a different UAA school and be like starters. So it's a really talented team, and I mean, this Division III tournament, NCAA tournament, is going to be lit, bro. I can't wait to watch it. Just, you know, putting our stamp in Division III throughout this year, getting connections, hearing different coaches and from the best players has been a ride. But like I said, we talked about a ton. Also, we didn't get to talk with any EA players this week, but definitely stay tuned for our Only in D3 segment. Definitely going to be a funny story over there. But we talked about a lot with Hampton, RWE, you know, recruitment to NYU, why he decided that over some Division I schools, and then what he's looking forward to for the rest of the year. Definitely a humble guy. So let's hear from our guy, Hampton Sanders. All right, we are here with our guy, Hampton Sanders. How you doing today, bro?
Chilling, bro. Can't complain.
Definitely appreciate you getting on, bro. It's going to be a great episode, great conversation. Excited for the viewers to get to know you, my man.
I'm looking forward to it. I appreciate y'all.
Yes, sir. So you guys coming off a 2-0 weekend. Yesterday, you guys smacked Wash U, but you guys also beat Chicago as a buzzer beater. So just talk to me about, like, this past weekend and specifically the buzzer.
I mean, it was a big test for us, bro. Like, we played Wash U in Chicago last weekend, so it was kind of weird having to come back and play him again. But we were at home this time, had a little bit of time to rest, recuperate, get back to what we're used to. But Chicago gave us a really good game. They're a really, really solid team. So was Wash U. They were missing one of their guys. So hope he's doing all right. But Chicago was a movie. I mean, we had probably the most fans we've had in a game since the tournament last year, and came out of the wire. We were down the entire game, and then we just ended up going on the run when it mattered. Our coach drew up a great play out of bounds to give us a win, and my boy Brock was wide open. Don't know how, but got a layup off and won the game. So
that's super tough. Those UAA matchups, bro. Like they're always a battle. I feel like, especially because, if I'm not mistaken, y'all don't play a conference tournament too, right?
Nope.
Yeah. So like every game means so much. So it's like such a battle.
Yeah, I think it's crazy, bro. Like last year we were the co-champs with Case Western. This year Case Western at the bottom of our conference, but like anybody could beat anybody on any given day. We lost to Emory, but Emory beat Chicago, and we beat Chicago. So it's hectic.
Nah, bro, 100%. That's around like the whole division, bro. It's not even just like the UAA. It's just the UAA is probably the best conference in the country, so it gets a lot of that attention. But throughout, sure. Like if you follow, look at the scores, every conference is like, yo, the one seed really just lost today, or you know, this top 25 team just lost. Is that ass crazy? But I want to switch convo a little bit. So you're from New Jersey, but obviously, like we know, you be outside a little bit, so you probably know. You probably know some of the New York Hoopers or played against them. So I want you, like, unbiased, even though that's probably hard being from Jersey. Like, what you thinking? Who got the better stay? What Hoopers are better coming out of New York or Jersey?
Yeah. So, I mean, unbiased, but I'm from Jersey. I played basketball in New York the last few years. But, like, I've been up here a lot, like, during AAU, just playing everybody from the Wrens to Lightning. Everybody has come from New York, but I'm going to say that Jersey got better Hoopers. I mean, we have guys in the league right now that can speak for it. We got guys like Kat and Kyrie and Najri doing their thing. So I'm going to say shout out to them. New York definitely got Hoopers, though. I think the Tri-State is the best area for basketball in the country. So I'm going to have us be a more unified front than saying Jersey better than New York. But I got to go. Got to go to my hometown.
I mean, there's a lot of Jersey Hoopers putting on the NBA. I mean, Kyrie, you already said him, but he was in the finals last year balling. You know what I'm saying? And they have, like, I feel like the media outlets too, like NJ Hoop Recruit, like they do a good job of promoting like the top talent in the area. For sure. So definitely a lot of good Hoopers coming out of there.
Yeah, that's my dog. I mean, even like playing in AAU, I played against guys like Elliot Cadeau and Tahad and Aaron Bradshaw and DJ Wagner, and the list could go on forever. Just great basketball. So
100%. I wanted to ask you about one specific Jersey Hooper that actually connected us with you, my guy Hank Morgan. I'm pretty sure he's from Caldwell, New Jersey, my guy. So how'd you meet him, and just tell us a little bit about that?
So one of my best friends, his name is Brian. We call him Moose. He's from Glen Ridge, and this past summer we had runs at NYU, and he invited Hank. Never met Hank before. Didn't really know what I was getting into. Hank's a bucket.
Hank,
We started playing. I was walking in. Hank's this nonchalant, chill guy, not really doing too much. Came out, can shoot, has bounced, can play defense. It was great to meet, bro. But yeah, he's been doing his thing in Hamilton. Got to see him play a couple weeks ago when they played Stevens. So he's doing his thing. It was super good to meet him, just be able to compete with him a little bit. But yeah, that's my guy.
He's definitely a pro. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I'm excited to see what his future looks like.
Yo, I'm gonna say this. I think Hank got he's the best talent in Division III. That might be crazy, wow. But I think he's the best player. I'm not gonna lie.
He's definitely up there. I mean, he's averaging like 21 and a half. He's balling right now for sure. But I mean, I guess it's I kind of want to skip ahead now, because you mentioned the runs at NYU, and I know someone else that went there. I think Dave Murray. He played. He's from Brooklyn. And he goes to Merrimack now, and he played there. And he was telling me about the runs that you guys were having. It was elite runs. You guys had D1, D2, D3 guys. I was seeing content about it over the summer. So just tell us what those runs was like, if you have any, like, memories, stories, and like, just talk about the talent in the gym.
For sure. It was great runs all around. I think it started off pretty low-key. It was mostly just NYU guys, because a bunch of us were here for the summer. But then We had some D1 guys. My boy Xavian from Princeton came out to run us a few times. We got a couple pros. Tyson Etienne with the Long Island Nets came and played with us a couple times. We had Dave Murray from Conn College. We had Hank. We had AK goes to Cornell. We had – what else do we have over there? We had just a lot of guys who could hoop. It was it was really competitive. We used to try to keep it to, like, 15-ish. We just had three games going – or have a game going with one sub-team. It was just super, super high pace, super high energy, and it was really a great bump. I'm looking forward to doing it again this year and getting some more guys who I've been blessed to meet this past couple of years having come up with us.
No, that's definitely a good bump. And you could kind of – all those players that you mentioned are kind of having good years. So you could see, like, you know, maybe not just those runs, but those runs got a place in why their development this past summer and stuff like that. But I'm kind of curious, like, you guys just have the gym open? Like, you can get in there whenever?
Basically. So Moose worked at our gym over the summer, but we're really close with our staff. So it was kind of just like we wanted to come and get a chance to get better. And they were like, yeah, for sure, as long as the gym's open. So we carved out like a 2-hour block, Tuesday, Thursday nights. We brought a bunch of guys in who are in the city, who are visiting, that kind of thing, and just got to it.
Word. So are you the one that's like, you know, kind of the connecting piece, you getting everybody in there or what?
No, honestly, it wasn't. I think I'm going to be this upcoming summer. But two of my teammates, Zay and Moose, were kind of the spearheads of all of it. They just reached out, built the things. Because I'm from Jersey, but Zay was staying in the city. And Moose is closer to here than I am. So they were kind of just like, we'll set it up and get whoever.
I was going to say, like, you mentioned that some of your teammates were staying around in New York over the summer. And, like, I've always heard from, like, different coaches, like, when you could get your teammates like all together in the summer and like be able to like work out with them, like that's going to help you guys so much more when it comes to the season, just with chemistry and stuff. So I'm wondering if you kind of saw that too.
For sure. I mean, this jersey behind me actually isn't our regular game jerseys. We, as a team, had a chance to go to China this past summer. So we got to go to China. Like all the guys that were on our team for last year went and we got to play a couple games. We low-key got handed to by one of these really good teams in China. But we've been playing together, I think, since like August for the most part. I mean, all of the guys that were here last year were bonded with a bunch of really good new guys that came in and kind of meshed right away. Super competitive atmosphere from day one. It was just get in, guys want to hoop, guys really like love basketball. So we were able to get the chance to have, I think a couple times we were able to have five of our NYU guys play and just have different groups play against us, I guess, as the summer went on. So we got to build that chemistry, and I think it's paying off so far.
Word. I was gonna wait to bring that up, the China experience, but I seen it on your gram, so I was wondering if you could just like, what was the daily schedule out there, what you experience out there? Just tell me about that trip.
Bro, I'd say we fit like a month and a half of stuff into a week. It was, we saw about a time difference straight off the plane. We were going to meet people, to go to dinners, that kind of stuff. We went to Disney World. We went to the China consulate. We got to go to a bunch of games. Went to a circus show. We got to play a bunch of games. It was just every morning we were up at 7 a.m., had something to do. Went to Shanghai's campus, got breakfast. We were able to hang out as a team, go explore some stuff. It was a crazy time. Super grateful for it. It was super, super fun.
I mean, I kind of want to skip again too, bro, because now like you're making me think. I'm looking at one of the questions we have on here, and basically it talks about how you have a partnership with Hoop Culture, right? And how I just want to know like how you're negotiating deals, given your background, like your high follower count, you're playing basketball in New York City at a high level D3 school, and just talk about the perks of playing at NYU too, like even the academic side of it too. I'm kind of interested in all that, bro.
Yeah, I think the first thing is I'm definitely blessed to be here. Like, NYU was a great, great establishment, like, outside of the sports side. I mean, not a lot of people even know we have a sports team, which I think is kind of crazy. But just academics-wise, like, it's one of the top schools in the country. You're in New York, so you can have any kind of coaching experience that you want. But, yeah, no, it was great. I mean, the Hoop Culture thing came about. I was actually approached by this woman. Her name is Bree Kirk. She approached our entire team and was like, hey, you guys want to have like a team-wide brand. Some of the guys were into it. Some of them really weren't. So it kind of fizzled off. But then I was like, look, if you guys want to do it, I will. I was, when I was in eighth grade, like seventh, eighth grade, I was going to made hoops tournaments and seeing all the ice in my veins, sleeves from hoop culture all around. I was like, look, if I could be a part of this, I definitely want to. Mm-hmm. So I partnered with Bree. We got the chance to put some merch out. I'm actually wearing one of our shirts yesterday. But it was super cool. I mean, I got to do a photo shoot in Chinatown. Got to meet some new people. Got some exclusive merch for me and for some of my teammates. So looking forward to just to see what else I can get NIL-wise and just to keep me pushing.
That's tough, bro. And I want to talk about one other thing you got going on outside of NYU, though. RWE, bro. You with that family, Rod Wave Elite. For the viewers that don't know what Rod Wave Elite is, basically it's like a, let's say, AAU program. It's created by YouTuber Cam Wilder. He's a well-known YouTuber, tough hooper, in my opinion. I think he's pretty good, but it's described on Google. RWE is more of an entertainment team for social media platforms like YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram. So, like, you guys get basically all the top players in the country, really, because you guys had Khan, Anthony, Tyron Stokes, the Ellis brothers, like, all those guys playing for you. And this past summer, you guys were pushing out a lot of great content, bro. So just talk about some of your favorite memories from this past summer, excuse me, and how you kind of got into that, bro. I want to hear about all that.
So it was a crazy story, truth be told. So I played with Rod Wave 2 summers ago, so my summer before my freshman year of college. One of my close friends, Jordan Summers, just texted Cam out of the blue. He's 6'8". He was like, yo, I want to play with Rod Wave. And Cam was like, all right, bet. So Jordan texted me one day. I was getting a cut. He was like, yo, we're having tryouts at Sportica in an hour. I was like, all right, bro, I'll be there. So I go. There's a line around the gym. Like, there's probably 200 or 300 kids there. I walk in not knowing what to think. I'm kind of just like, yo, I'm just going to go hoop. This is cool seeing all these guys here. Walked in, guys like Jake West, Jay Jack are there, Arul Pugosa Columbia are there. I'm just like, it's crazy. So I go out, I do my thing. Cam ends up picking me up. So we end up playing in a tournament in Jersey at Sportica. So we played, went really well, lost our first game, but it was kind of good for views because we ended up playing the same team in the championship. Ended up beating them. I got to meet a bunch of really cool guys, a bunch of high-level talents. Like I mentioned, Jake and Arul and Jay Jack, but then there's Adam Enjai, who goes to Iona, and a bunch of other guys who I met who are just super talented guys, super down to earth, super cool people. Met Nelson and LeVar, obviously, who are my dogs now. Thought that was going to be the end of it. I thought it was a cool little weekend experience. Thought it was going to be one of the memories. And then I ended up getting a text from Cam in like August because he wanted to have like an end of summer full tournament. One of the blessings about being in D3 is that we don't go to campus a month and a half early to have workouts. So I was home chilling, just hooping. And then all the guys that were high level committed already were already at school. So Cam was like, yo, if you want to slide, let me know. So I ended up going to Lancaster. It was me. Our original team was me, Zion Sensley, John Mobley, who goes to Ohio State, Jaden Williams. We had just a bunch of studs. And then somehow the team got better because Tahad and Dylan Harper and Ian Jackson, all of them just showed up randomly on Sunday, and we ended up playing in front of the equivalent of a sold-out crowd in AAU. I've never seen spookiness that packed in my life. Every single court, 1 through 8 on the first floor, the mezzanine, people were just there. The game was almost like canceled because we couldn't get on the court. But, yeah, that was a crazy experience for me. I mean, I say all the time, I'm super blessed that I was able to have that opportunity. Thing, super grateful to Cam and for all the guys who put it together. Like, it changed my life for the most part. I mean, I'm still a D3 kid, but I had that experience and I think that was super crazy for me. So I'm super, super blessed with it.
Yeah. So I was watching some of the like YouTube vids, RWE, and I see that you're still like heavily a part of the, you know, RWE family. And yep. So I kind of want to hear like your relationship with Cam, Zeddy, and all them, just because like I know on social media and stuff, they might get the rep like they're just jokesters, but they're real businessmen, like got it going, got mad motion going. So I just want to hear, like, you know, their influence on you and your relationship with Cam especially, but Zeddy, all those guys involved.
So I think there's a lot of misconceptions about Cam's lifestyle because all you really see is Cam hooping and hosting AAU tournaments, but Cam has a lot of stuff on the business side. I mean, like, he has a team in OTE. He's traveling across the globe doing takeovers and that kind of stuff and just, like, getting a bunch of promotion deals and that kind of stuff. But, like, I think a lot of what I appreciate from Cam is that Cam wanted to have a platform to give back to other people. Like, Cam has 1 million followers. He's been doing YouTube stuff for years. But he had the chance to help people like me who didn't really have a lot in terms of like social media following, that kind of stuff, just to have a chance to go out and show what you can do. Like Cam helped a lot of guys, not just me, but a lot of my friends for sure. Just helped them get followers up, get opportunities to have brand deals, that kind of stuff. And I'm super, super admirable for what he's done. Also guys like Zeddy's probably the funniest guy I've met in my life. Like I met him for the first time. We were at a tournament in Jersey. He was wearing a hat with a button down shirt, a tie, had a Bible in his hand. He was just going around a troll, but he's making music now. He's doing shows, promotions, that kind of stuff. But like all these guys are really about finding ways to capitalize off of what they've built. I think that's super, super admirable.
Nah, yeah, 100%. I could definitely see that. And one moment specifically I wanted to bring up. So I'm from Albany, and like RWE was playing like some of my young mans. I think their team name was Any Revolt. And I saw in the vid that you was there, and there was like a little bit of beef in that game. It was when his name is Sasai. He was like, yo, y'all went zone and y'all got 55 stars. So I just want to hear like some of your favorite memories, like maybe it's beef, maybe it's, you know, just funny moments in a hotel, anything like that, that you could share.
I think definitely one of the most memorable ones that I have is when we went to Lancaster last year. They were having like a street fair outside of our hotel. So like me, Zeddy, Jake, Cam, like all of us, I kind of just walked outside and started having dance battles with people in the crowd, just like doing dumb stuff, having fun. I think one of my favorite ones playing is when we played in Lancaster that first day. I think it's probably one of the best games I've had with that wave, when people really started thinking I was old. They really started calling me Unk. It's kind of funny. I got a cane from somebody in the crowd. I was walking around with a cane, kind of just embodying the personality. But I think it was really fun. But yeah, like being in Albany this past summer, just like watching the guys play instead of playing, it was super fun. A lot of talent on that team with like Chopper Moore and Tyrus Stokes and all those kind of guys who just came out and showed out and hooped. And it was cool being in New York, kind of close to home, but just seeing guys that I had played in the AU before just putting on for the city. So it was cool.
No, 100%. I mean, yo, that's mad great content we got already, and we haven't even taken a break. So stay with us while I take a quick break. All right, we're back with Hampton on the Not Even D2 pod. So we talked a little about, like, you know, your name starting to get out there with RWE. But also in high school, you transferred from Princeton Academy. You was the all-time leading scorer there, if I'm not mistaken. And you did this, like, early in your career. You transferred to Lawrenceville. But I just want to hear, like, what the recruitment process was like for you coming out of high school. Were you getting, like, any Division I scholarship-level offers? And what ultimately stood out about NYU and why you committed there?
So hooping in high school was kind of weird. I started at this school called Princeton Day. Princeton Academy was my middle school. But I went to Princeton Day School for my first year. One of my coaches, his name is Doug Davis. He went to Princeton, Princeton legend, had a game winning shot in March Madness, all that kind of stuff. So I was there with him. I was in a six-man kind of role, had a bunch of guys who were going to play D3 who came before me and started before me and stuff. So I was learning a lot. Got the chance to play. We won a state chip, or won a Prep B championship my freshman year. And then COVID hit and kind of threw everything for a loop. So my coach left. Coach Davis left and went to Lawrenceville. So I ended up playing at PDS one more year with my coach Eugene Burrows, who was a former shooting coach of the Sixers, that kind of stuff. So it wasn't really a great fit. I kind of just wanted to get out of PDS, just get a new start. I had a chance to go to Lawrenceville because Davis was like, yo, I want you to be here. I'm recruiting some high-level guys. So took the risk. I said, yeah, let's do it. Ended up transferring to Lawrenceville my junior year of high school, playing in a super competitive league in Jersey called the Maple, as teams like Blair and Hill produce D1 guys every year. But a lot of tough guys that I'm still friends with now that I played when I was at Lawrenceville. There's guys like Xavier. There's a guy in the league right now who's starting for the Suns. His name is Ryan Dunn, who I played in high school. Crazy athlete. Guys like that I saw and played all the time. Super good for my confidence, super good for just my ability, how to learn and adapt. My junior year, we played, did pretty well. My senior year, I was blessed to play with one of my boys. His name is Jake Beckles, goes to Cornell. Played a bunch of high-level competition, had a lot of really good wins, bunch against a lot of really good teams. Coming out of high school, or coming out of my junior year, I didn't really have a ton of offers. I had a couple interests from like Princeton and American. But I was really deciding between going to Hopkins and going to NYU. And then my trainer, his name is Kerry Fotheringham, owns Grit Basketball, is close with my coach at NYU now, Dave Klatsky, because one of his players, his name was Tucker Richardson, went to Colgate for 4 years, mm-hmm. played in March Madness, really good Colgate player, is where Coach Klatsky originally coached. He was at Colgate for a while before he came to NYU, so they had a bond. And he was like, yo, they want you to come to their camp. Just go for a little while. It's 10 minutes from my house. I said, cool, why not? So I went to the camp. Within like the first 15, 20 minutes, he was like, we want you here. Like, I think you bring a lot to the team. And I was happy to be there. So I took a tour of the campus with my family. I wasn't sure how I was going to feel about the whole not campus field, really big school, that kind of thing. But I was sold. So I ended up committing really early for a senior. I committed in like October of my senior year. So I played my whole senior year being committed already. Ended up playing with Ride Wave after my senior year. So I kind of wonder how that would have changed if the roles were reversed. But I'm happy where I'm at, so no complaints. But yeah, I ended up really liking where I'm at at NYU. Last year, we had a really good season. I met a bunch of really good guys and learned a lot. And this year, we're top three in the country. So excited to keep going.
I was going to say, bro, like Lawrenceville is a real high academic school. Like, and you're also applying, or you were looking at, two of the best schools in the country with Hopkins and NYU. So has that always been a determining factor? And was that always a determining factor when you thinking about college and stuff like that, like high academic institutions like that?
Yeah, absolutely. So my mom's a teacher and my dad is a policy writer. So they're very, very big on what academics can bring you. So since I was a kid, they were always like, look, this basketball stuff is cool. I played baseball too. The baseball stuff is cool, but you need to get an education. So I was at Lawrenceville and it taught me a lot. I think it was very, very good for me in terms of how I was able to learn how to time manage. Lawrenceville was a pretty strict schedule. It was 5-6 classes a day, every day of the week from 8 to 3. It was 50 minutes, 5 minute break, 50 minutes, 5 minute break, hour and a half class, lunch. It was just back to back to back. So it really helped me with my time management skills. And I feel like I've been able to really use that in my time here at NYU. It's been really good for me. So going into college, it was always, I want to play basketball. I'm good enough to play basketball, but I always have to have a good academic piece. So here I am at NYU.
Yeah. I want to kind of shift the convo outside of athletics and go to, like, the academic side. A lot of people talk about, like, NESCAC and UAA schools and always just say, like, it's a really good academic school. But we don't really hear, like, what separates those type of schools. So I was wondering if you could talk about, like, maybe the connections that NYU provides for you, any programs that you're in, stuff like that, that you could tell the viewers what separates NYU from like the rest of the country.
For sure. I think especially being at NYU, like I have a hands-on view as to how much an NYU degree means. Like even as niche and small as the NYU basketball department is, we have so many guys that come back as alumni who were pros or were in investment banking who look to give guys on our team internships or advice to have to go and move forward. I think NYU is extremely diverse. Like I think even just like my friends, like my best friend's an investment banker. I have somebody in financial engineering. I have a bunch of film friends, a bunch of acting friends. Like there's just so many people in so many different realms of what an education can bring you. So I feel like having that range and diversity super exclusive to some of these kind of schools where you can have someone like who's a biology major who also plays sports at a high level. And I feel like having this, that mesh at this kind of school is super, super important.
Nah, that makes complete sense, bro. And I definitely liked how you kind of described that because, I mean, again, that's a lot of schools in Division III. It's not like we're not going to this school just because we're focused on basketball. Like there's a life mm-hmm. outside of basketball that we're also trying to pursue. And that's kind of, you know, what makes this division kind of special. And to go back to athletics, like you said, you guys are top three in the country right now, number 3, 19-1 on the season, 8-1 in the UAA. You guys rank pretty highly in some specific categories like field goal percentage, scoring margin, just kind of walking through teams. You got 5 players in the top 25 of UAA scoring. So it's not like one guy is just dominating. It's a complete spread. Like you're coming off the bench having a great year, which we're going to talk about. But I just want to like hear from you, talk about this year's NYU roster and like what makes you guys so good.
So anybody who watched us last year knew that a lot of the heart and soul of our team came from a dude named Spencer Friedman. So Spencer was probably one of the most talented guys I've ever played with or against, and that's because he just mastered the reads of basketball, where there was things that I didn't even see that Spencer saw that I was trying to learn how to do, because sometimes it just happened. I had no idea how he saw it, what he did, but Spencer was really tenured. He played along, played the game for a long time, so he was able to play against guys like LaMelo Ball and played at D1 levels at Harvard and it came down. So he had all levels of experience and knew how to exploit different defenses and stuff. And we had a really good team last year too with guys like Michael Savarino and Conrad Kishka, who went to both play D1. And then obviously the guys like Zay, who's still here, and Emmanuel, who are still here. But a lot of our team last year was very Spencer-oriented, and I think that did us really, really well, and we ended up falling a little bit short of our goal. But this year, I think what makes us so versatile and so dangerous is, like you said, we have five guys that can have a day any given day. There's, like, in our game yesterday, one of our transfers, his name is Brock Susko, had 25 points. I had 10. Zay had 10. Tristan had 10 and 14 rebounds. And those are games where we won by 20. So it could have been a game where, like, against Brandeis this year, my first career start, I had 25. Brock had 26. Tristan had 24. That's like, we have guys that can go on all cylinders. So it's not like you can just try to box one guy and leave someone else to beat you. Like, we will beat you. And you have to worry about every single guy on the court at all times. I feel like that's something not a lot of teams have. And I think it's especially dangerous because we have guys off the bench who provide stuff that we really need. We have two guys off the bench shooting over 45% from three. We have my best friend Moose, who I think is one of the best defenders in the country, comes in the game and just his goal is like to lock down the best team's other player. So he does that all the time. And then we have, like I said, Tristan Howes, a transfer from UVA, who's averaging something like 17 and 12, something ridiculous.
16.
Something nuts like that. And then there's me and Brock and a transfer from Jack Stone, who was first team all league last year. And we just have a lot of depth. So super excited to see what we can do come playoff time, because it's going to be hard for all of us to have an off day.
Definitely. I mean, you shooting the piss out the ball, bro. I'm not going to lie. I mean, efficient as hell. 56% from the field, 48% from three. Like, those are super efficient numbers, averaging 12 a game off the bench. So is there a certain mindset coming off the bench, bro, for you? Like, you know what I mean? Like, are you – like, what's your preparation look like? I'm kind of interested in that side of it too.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously anybody who plays, their whole goal is they want to start – they want to be the guy on their team. But I – didn't want that to be what my mindset was going into this year, because while I have the utmost confidence in myself, I think that I'm a key part to this team. I know that it's not just me. It's not about how many points that I get, how many assists that I get, how many minutes I play. If I start, come off the bench, it doesn't really matter for me as long as you're winning games. So my goal coming into games is to be as aggressive as possible. And that doesn't really mean scoring. Like, I feel like no one in the country can stay in front of me. I feel like I can get into the paint whenever I want. And that, I feel like that opens up a lot of stuff for our team. Like I said, we have guys who shoot 40 plus from three. So it's not always about me. If I get by my guy, people have to collapse. It's always, I have a shooter here. I have a drop off to our big who's shooting like 70% for the field. Who's going to make shots if I give him the ball? So it's always about just finding ways to be aggressive and put pressure on the defense. And I feel like having to put pressure on people to guard you is the most important thing. And I feel like being aggressive is how you do that.
I mean, you're talking about drop off to the big. I seen your big punch on someone against Conn College, bro. Oh my God, that was horrible. I actually knew the person that got dunked on too. So it's kind of crazy. but also another conversation too. Like, you're relatively new to the UAA, and we kind of talked about it earlier, how like it's a battle every night, and you know, like it's gonna be a test, and anyone can win any given night. So I'm wondering for you, obviously you take the mindset that everyone's going to, you know, play you tough, but are there any other like specific matchups in the UAA that you look forward to either team wise or even player wise? No beef, just straight like good bump.
Right. So I think last year it was definitely different for me because I went through like the first significant slump of my life. It was like, I came in UAA, I think I shot like 4 for 22 as a whole over like 6 or 7 games. And I was kind of just out of it. Didn't really know how to get my footing right. But this year, obviously, it's a lot different. It's like doing a lot better in conference, and we've had a lot of good tests. I feel like some of my favorite player matchups, probably Ben Pierce from Emory. I got to play with Ben this past summer at the NYU runs. He also was also there to play, and he's just a super crafty, super poised guy, scored all three levels. say him, definitely Justin Allen from Carnegie Mellon, who's shooting the piss at the ball and just doing Justin Allen things. He's super talented guy. I think he has the talent to go D1 if he wants to. I'm pretty sure he will at some point before he stops playing basketball. He's a super tough guy. I think even from last night, you played Hayden Doyle from WashU. I wasn't really not familiar. I didn't really play a ton against him when I played last year, but this past year, I think it was super competitive between the two of us. I think we're both competitive guys who just want to win. So there was obviously a bunch of friendly talk going on throughout the game, but I have a lot of respect for him and what he does. I feel like he's a super poised guy and knows how to play the game of pace, that kind of thing. But I keep going down the list. Chicago, Thomas Kurowski gave us a show in Chicago, just hit a bunch of crazy step back shots, and he's doing his thing. But also Philip Lawrence from Chicago, who was in the running with me last year for UAA Rookie of the Year. He's a super cool guy that I got to meet and talk to. So I think UAA as a whole is just a bunch of really good guys that all just want to hoop. I think team-wise this year, the answer is definitely Emory for going to Atlanta this weekend.
Gotta get that one back, bro.
Yeah, to go get back for what happened when we played in New York. It definitely sucks having lost, that'd be our only loss, and it coming on our home court. But Emory's a really good team. They have a bunch of guys who can go, a bunch of guys who do a lot of different things. So I'm super excited to see if we can get that back this weekend. But yeah, I think Emory's definitely the team that I want to get to play against and hopefully beat this weekend, because they're standing between us and the UAA title. So.
Definitely good luck this weekend, my boy. We're definitely going to be tapped in if we can watch, if we don't have a game. Yes, but yes, I'm we brought this up in the just because we filmed the episode with Justin Allen too. And basically my question revolves around competitiveness between different conferences. And when I say that, so a couple when the pod first started, we had this player on, Teja Singh. He plays at Hamilton with Hank.
Sure.
And we talked about basically the matchups between the UAA and NESCAC, and basically which D3 conference is above the other in terms of talent, you know, whatever it may be, which is better. And I want to hear your perspective on this, because I'm sorry to bring up like tough memories, but you guys lost to Tufts last year. I just want to get your perspective on this, bro. I want to hear it.
It's actually funny. I called my boy who goes to Wesleyan literally last night. So I have two boys who go to, well, three technically. Ant Araguzo and Josh Cameron, who both played in the Maple. Like, I played with them, and they're both at Wesleyan now. So I always, me and Ant talk shop all last summer about who was a better conference, because Tufts beat us and this and that, blah, blah, blah. But I feel like both of our conferences have three teams each in the top 15. In the country, like, it's us and then WashU and Emory and then Tufts and Trinity and Wesleyan. Like, it's a bunch of competition. I'm gonna say that we're a better conference. I think we in the UA NESCAC challenge this year, I think only one of our teams lost. I think it was to Wesleyan. I think as a whole, we're a better conference. I want to play Wesleyan so bad. I keep telling him that I want to get the chance to play them in the worst way. Like, Tufts gave us a really good battle last year. In fact, they're a really, really good team. They have a lot of guys who can just really go. We played Williams this year. It was also a really good team, but we had a really good game against Williams. We played Conn College this year. who gave us a little bit of a test last year, but this year I think we're more prepared and handled it a little bit better. But I'm going to go with the UA, hoping that we prove that in tournament this year and stop losing in the first round. But I think it's us and the NESCAC for sure as the top two conferences. I think that on any given day, either of our teams can go out and win a bunch of games, go win the title. So I think it's definitely us too, but I'm going to give us the edge.
Word. I like that answer, and I'm definitely hoping for a Wesleyan versus NYU chip.
I'm not putting
my predictions, but I definitely think that that'll have, like, the whole country tuned in. Like, because you guys from this, I mean, maybe not Wesleyan as much, but you guys were definitely, like, amongst the favorite to lead this season. And then Wesleyan from the jump had just been killing teams, so – I know a lot of people would be happy to see that. But this is going to be the last question before we get into the rapid fire. So like Ruta said, you're shooting the piss out of the ball. Almost 50, 40, 90. We got to get that free throw percentage up a little bit.
My fault. I didn't see that.
Telling me, bro. I missed two last night. It killed me.
56% from the floor, 49% from three, 87% from the line, averaging 12, 4, and 3, which is crazy, and only like, what, 20, 23 minutes a game, which is impressive filling up the stat sheets. But what's your focus for the rest of the year? Like, you know, you're having a great year already. You guys are 19-1. So just talk to me about, like, what you're looking for the end of the year.
My focus is to help us win games, man. I mean, there's games where, like, against Cotton College, I didn't shoot the ball one time. It's not about me getting reps. It's about whatever we can do to win games. Like I said, there's guys – we have guys that can score, so it might not be my day. I could be 2-for-2 from the field, and that's the only two shots that I shoot. And I'm cool with that because if we're winning the game by 20 points, it doesn't matter to me. I've taken it upon myself to be super focused and disciplined as to how I go about the game this year. And I feel like my preparation has been a lot better than it has been in the past. For anybody who knows me, I shoot a stupid amount of layups and jump shots before every game. I literally will go to the court and just make layups for 45 minutes before I even shoot a jump shot. Just like focusing on discipline and stuff like that and figuring out ways to get the ball past big since I'm not tall. So I gotta find ways to do something. But my goal, bro, is just to help us win. I mean, there's gonna be games where I have the keys and games where I'm gonna be able to give the keys to somebody else or games where I'm just a facilitator. And however it leads us to holding up a banner in Fort Wayne is what I'm gonna do. So that's all it is.
No, I can definitely see the craft you're working on, them finishes, the, you know, the scoop finishes, right hand, wrong foot finishes, all that. And you can see we off air was talking to you, like watching DG and Tyrese Maxey. That's definitely part of their game. But
sure.
It's definitely been a good conversation. And we're going to end this conversation with a rapid fire and start a five edition. So let us know you're ready for rapid fire.
I'm ready, bro. Talk to me.
All right. First rapid fire question. So you're an NYU student. And you're living in NYC, so I want to hear your favorite thing to do in NYC outside of any NYU-related activities.
I definitely say trying new food spots. I'm not like a huge, like, I'm not a guy who's going to go try, like, absolutely anything. But I love trying different variations of new food that I like. Like, I've found 9 different chicken and rice combinations that I like, from Cava, Halal, Chipotle, not, like, it doesn't matter. But stuff like that. Or definitely just, like, watching people in New York. Especially just like going to like Washington Square Park, Central Park, and just seeing people be people. It's really interesting. So probably those two.
Yo, Cava is really the best. I don't even know. I wouldn't even describe it as fast food, but it's just like
it's something, bro. It's something.
There's no Cava spots anywhere near me in upstate New York, bro. So you're definitely blessed down in NYC.
For sure.
Next rapid fire question. Funniest RWE hooper that you played with?
The funniest guy that I probably played with is probably there's a lot of guys.
You can give a couple if you want.
I'm about to say there's a lot of guys. Zeddy, I didn't play with Zeddy, but Zeddy's hilarious. LeVar is hilarious. Cam is hilarious. I feel like probably those three, and then probably Nelson and Niles. Not to say Noah's not funny, but Nelson and Niles for sure.
And then last rapid fire question. Just give us some of your favorite songs in your rotation right now. I seen on your gram, you got a couple. You got like Lupe Fiasco, Frank Ocean on there. So I gotta see.
I gotta tap the playlist real quick. Hold on.
Yeah, for sure.
Top of my head. So I'm a big music dude. I listen to music before everything. I'd be walking to class, listening to music, weight rooms, naps, all of it. I got music playing. As of late, I've been tapping my boy's new album. His name is Milksy. He made a song called Russian Roulette. You might have heard of. Listening to his new album, I got Gunna in here, Tupac in here, Benny the Butcher, Lil Yachty, Jasmine Sullivan, Jhené Aiko, Jack Harlow, Georgia Smith, Justin Bieber, SZA, Dominique Fike.
I love the diversity for sure.
Bro, Earl Sweatshirt, Westside Gunn, Malcolm Todd, Drake, of course, Tyler the Creator, of course, Joey Badass, Uzi a little bit, Common, Kendrick, Fetty Wap. Yeah, that's just going down my like tracks in the last like week. But I'm a huge R&B head. Anything R&B, I think, is probably my favorite genre. Listen to Smino, bro. Smino a ton. Smino Blast, Saba, Drake, Frank Ocean, Tyler. Yeah. Definitely those. But I'm a big fan of listening to calm stuff before a game. Well, calm before the game and then hype right before the game. So I listen to this song called Just Stand There by Fred Again for every game. That's my kind of just get into the zone kind of song, and then I get to it.
That's tough. That's tough. I was going to ask, so you're from Jersey, and I have a couple cousins from Jersey. When I was younger, they put me onto a Jersey club, and I know – club guy. Oh, word? All right, so I don't even know really what to ask, but just talk about, like, your love for Jersey club, bro. I'm just kind of interested in that.
Bro, so I think it low-key started with TikTok, because I'm sure you guys know who Jesse Jones is. His name is Filet on Instagram.
Yeah.
He started just dancing all over TikTok, and then him and then Kyrie got into it, and then a whole bunch of just different guys from Jersey ended up dancing. But me and my boy Moose probably danced before every game. We got a bunch of songs in the playlist, like even some Philly songs that are on there, like Raji's and like Spence with a bunch of Philly artists. I just like, I like dancing. I think it's fun. I've been on TikTok kind of just messing around, having a good time. So I think Jersey Club is a fire genre. I feel like the beats are crazy. So I actually have a mix to a Jersey Club song, which is kind of nuts. But yeah, I like this little idea.
Real quick before we get into the starting five edition. So when you're dancing, you be getting like light or you just be vibing?
Sure. I mean, it depends on the day. Before a game, just keep it a little calm, a little tangy. Once in a while, I have my hips a little bit. But if I be out with my boys, you know, we had a party or something, I'll get to it a little bit. Let me do a dance circle. I'll start throwing some stuff on.
Heard you. I respect it. But we're going to move to the starting five edition. So if you're a coach assembling a lineup, point guard through center, who's your lineup going to be? And this edition is going to be the best RWE players in throughout. Ooh. This is tough.
That hurts. I only get five?
Yeah, bro. This is the life of a coach.
Chill. I don't know if that's my lifestyle yet. One through five, Rod Wave edition. Okay. So I'm going to build a team full of shooters is what I'm going to do. So my point guard is going to be Tahad Pettiford.
Dog at Auburn.
My combo guard is going to be me, just because I can't not put myself in there. We're going to run three guards. So I'm going to go with probably the second best shooter I've ever played with, which is John Mobley, who was at Ohio State. I'm going to go S3. And then I'm going to go – I need a big. I'm going to go a rope. Goes to Columbia. He's not really a big. He's a big guard, but he's 6'11". So he going to slide with us. And then who's our five? I feel like I want to go small ball and just push the pace and put a four man, but I'm going to go with Jaden Williams. Who's our five, man? We're going to have a bunch of shooters, and then off the bench, I can have like 15 guys, but I don't got that many roster spots, so I'm going to go with those five.
Where does Jaden hoop at, Jaden Williams?
Jaden hoops at Incarnate Word.
Okay, word. I got you. Well, that's a tough lineup, bro. RWE's definitely been producing some great hoopers, and it's on the way up too, bro. So
for sure.
But that's going to do it for another episode of Not Even D2. Definitely appreciate you getting on the pod on your off day. Definitely going to be following NYU big game this weekend. So lock in and good luck the rest of the year, bro.
I'm doing my best, bro. I appreciate y'all for sure.
We're going to end this episode with our Only in D3 segment where Rudy and I tell you what it's like to be a Division III student athlete.
My Only in D3 story, Brody. First of all, no shade to Keyuka, like solid program, like again, no shade to them. But my only in D3 story would be canceling a game because of a water main break. I don't know if besides like you drink water during the game, obviously you have to use the bathroom and stuff like that. But like, bro, we're playing basketball. Like we'll bring a case of waters, like, and let's just play the game at the end of the day. Like we still have power, you know what I'm saying? Like it's not it's not, you know, I don't know. That just didn't really make any sense to me to cancel the game over that.
I thought it was because of snow. It was because of water main break. That's crazy.
Yeah, so I think that's my only D3 story, bro, just canceling the game because of that. But we're playing them today, so we'll see what happens.
My only in D3, I'll say, no shade against Houghton, but only in D3 where you have to warm up to gospel and, like, I don't even know the other type of music we were listening to yesterday, but the last 4 years that I played at Houghton, I've never heard a good song, bro. Like, last year we played them during Christmas time, and I deadass was listening to Jingle Bells, bro. And that is just not valid. But that's my segment of only in D3. Houghton's a really good team, so I'm not saying nothing about that. But we got to work on that playlist, bro.
Well, I know there's, bro. I've heard gospel rap, bro, before. So I'm not even trying to, like, Demetrius, my boy Demetrius, bro. He's definitely played like gospel rap before. So I know it's out there, man. Houghton got to do better for sure.
Nah. But that's our segment of Only in D3. If you like this episode, leave a like or follow us at Not Even D2 on platforms. Subscribe, hit that alert button. Stay updated with everything Not Even D2 got in store. And thanks for tuning in to another episode of Not Even D2.
Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, Twitter. That's the best way to support the channel.
And all episodes released on iHeartRadio, Pandora, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. That's going to do it. And we'll see you next week on Thursday.
Yo, bro, that was a fire episode.
OD.